It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rigger.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a recent National Labor Relations Board decision could significantly expand bargaining rights for subcontracted employees. We'll talk to a labor reporter.
But first, think back to some of your favorite movies and books over the past handful of years. Chances are films like Oh Brother, Where Art Thou and the Percy Jackson series might be among them.
You're Hades?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I didn't expect you to look like this, man. Kind of stylish. I like it.
Would you prefer that I looked like this?
Hades and other Greek deities and heroes and other staples of the classical world have been popping up in pop culture over the last decade, and our guest says these books, movies, and TV shows are spurring a revival of interest in the study of the original material, the classics.
Andrew Porter is an assistant professor in the Department of Foreign Language and Literature at UW-Milwaukee. He joins us now to talk about this new interest in those ancient stories. Andrew, welcome to Central Time.
Veronica and Rob, thanks for having me on.
Well, Andrew, it sounds like Hollywood has been a boon for your classes. What are you hearing from students who want to take the classics?
Absolutely. Our classic numbers are a boom themselves, and we actually teach about 1,600 students a year at UWM, which is fantastic if you think there are only 6.5 of us teaching these courses, 6.5 full-time position. But in any case, you know, students really tell you about their interests very clearly if you ask them. That's really the key. Some years ago, 2007, 2008, I began actually surveying students online to find out what they liked or disliked about our courses. And we've since begun doing that in various departments and so on. But what I found from the students themselves, surveying about 2,000 students of my own since 2008, really mythology appeals to me as something I hear again and again and again. I find mythology fascinating, or I was extremely interested in the subject matter. And you know, in Wisconsin schools, students often in grade 12, junior, senior year, in any case, say read the Odyssey. So for them, they've heard this before and they just want to read the Iliad and the Odyssey in full. They want to have discussions about it, and they're very interested in the subject. In fact, one really interesting thing happened with our UWM theater department that shows you that the range of ages interest in the subject of classics is really widespread. Ann Basting, who is in the theater department, asked me to come on board as a humanities expert. Though I always remember what my dad said about experts were a drip under pressure. But in any case, I came on board somewhat reluctantly. But she actually did a wonderful thing. She had the UW Theater Department collaborating with the residents of the Wisconsin Luther Manor. And it's a very large manor of seniors. She had a theater company come in, I think it was a Sojourn Theater. And they had performances of what they called Finding Penelope, where they actually interwove the actual stories of these seniors from real life into the magnificent story of Penelope, who waited home in Ithaca for her husband, absent for 20 years, to come home. Mm. And so we heard these real life stories that really were very effective for the audience and for those experiencing them as seniors as well as those involved as students.
And Andrew, I wanted to ask, as you surveyed students, you mentioned just maybe a natural interest, but did they cite pop culture, maybe the Percy Jackson movies or Rome or 300 as a reason that sparked their interest in these topics?
Absolutely. For instance, I always make it a habit, not just because it's my favorite movie, of showing Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And whenever I have a course on ancient epic, the Iliad and the Odyssey in particular, and when I ask the students to put up their hand if they'd seen this movie, and this movie's getting a little dated now, usually 3/4 of the students have watched it, and that, of course, is a movie that's based very intricately, very subliminally, and at times very humorously on Homer's Odyssey, which is a terrific story about the return home of Odysseus. But yes, Troy, for instance, or the 300 or the Percy Jackson series are all things that interest students. Believe it or not, some of them can still remember Hercules from more my generation, I think.
We're talking right now with Andrew Porter, assistant professor in the Department of Foreign Languages and Literature at UW-Milwaukee, talking about an uptick in interest in the classics thanks to pop culture. And Andrew, can you make the case that these aren't just fascinating, interesting old stories, they're actually useful to students in how they perform in real life?
You know, it's interesting. When you look at the range of movies that began in the 50s, from Ulysses, Helen of Troy, Jason the Argonauts, Medea, Alexander the Great, and so on, you say to yourself, there's an interest out there. Really, I just go back to the students once again. What is it that they like about this? These stories, what do they like about classics? You know, I have a retired engineer, for instance, who wanted to read ancient Greek to gain a sense of the beauty and meaning of poetry. Students in psychology wanted to learn some ancient stories. They'd visited Italy. One anthropology student said to me, I like Greek because it makes me think. A student of Latin said, I like the puzzle of it. A journalist took my one of my courses where you have to write a research paper, and he wasn't even aware before this of where to find the greatest gathering of journal articles that deal with every subject under the sun, JSTOR we call it in academia. But I think it's really true to say it depends upon your premise. What does it mean to be interesting or important for real life? If you feel that we're actually developing the whole person, we're developing creative juices, we're developing interest for people who go to as teachers, librarians, you know, professors, legal experts, archaeologists, people in medicine, religious studies. If creativity and interest matter for humans, I think classics is valuable. And I heard your show last evening when I was driving home rather late from the office, and I heard, I think, a former professor from Princeton talk about how the humanities can actually be put into dollars. That is, it does make a difference that companies are looking for the creativity and the expansive knowledge, the ability to adapt, the ability to analyze that humanities bring to a student. All the same, I'd like to suggest that interest isn't something we ought to easily put away. A student comes to a university quite often for a full education as compared with going to, say, a strictly technical college. And so there's opportunity, even for those who don't major in classics, even for the 1,600 students from most of the different disciplines who take our courses, to really meet an interest. And I think if we believe that it's important to fan into flame the human spirit and interest, then I think classics has a place always in our universities and our public's life.
So, Andrew, suppose somebody's listening, wants to fan that flame, maybe not quite ready to leap into the Greek or Latin. I'm a little rusty. Well, all right, I never learned them. What's a good place to start? Give us a quick reading list or even viewing list, if you want, to get us started.
Absolutely. You know, I may be an accountant, and I want to, begin to read about ancient drama. Well, you know, the first dramas of the Western world began in ancient Greece. Now, I would really strongly suggest the dramas of Euripides. Euripides is really the most psychological of all the dramatists. He really meets our need in today's society before the time of developed psychology and psychiatrists. He actually really digs deeply into the human spirit to see what makes people tick. And he deals with really the large issues in life, things like sibling rivalry. I think of his movie the Trojan Women, where you have two brothers, Eteocles and Polynices. They're brothers. They're supposed to share the rule one year after another in alternating fashion. Their father, Oedipus, who most people have heard about, has died. And one brother, Eteocles, just doesn't want to give up his rule. And he admits it. Power's great, and I don't want to give it up. And their poor mother is caught in the middle of two brothers fighting. In the end, it's such a tragic tale. The two brothers go head-to-head at a parapet and kill one another in the struggle. The Alcestes play, for instance, is a terrific play about loss and shame and regret, where Admetus has the opportunity not to die because of a favor he had done. But the catch is this, and it's a very important one. He has to actually, has to find someone to die for him. Mm. And in the end, it's his wife that takes up the challenge. So themes of shame. The Medea is a wonderful story for couples that are drifting apart and want to justify their actions. It's a terrible tragedy in human life, and children, of course, end up suffering.
Andrew, a great start to our reading list there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're most welcome. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Veronica.
That's Andrew Porter, assistant professor in the Department of Foreign Languages and Literature at UW-Milwaukee.